Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com, and you can join their team today. Coming up a bit later, in just over an hour, Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post columnist, will join the show. Always like reconnecting with Barry. And Steve Sands, longtime friend of the show. He's an anchor and reporter for Golf Channel. He's going to join us coming up at 9 as they get underway soon in the Midwest at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills. But we wanted to get into some of the latest with Carson Wentz and the Washington Commanders. He joined the Colin Cowherd podcast recently, and he reacted to, was asked by, I assume it was Colin Cowherd, about how he reacted to being called a mistake.
I saw this. I have a question, though, before we get into it.
Yeah.
Does Cowherd still do a show, like, on Fox or whatever?
I would assume so, yeah.
And that is his radio show that's televised, kind of like our bit?
I believe so.
Right?
I don't know. I
believe so.
And he does another podcast, so he's got a bunch of different things going on. He's got his podcast and his radio show that's broadcast on television.
Right. Yeah, he created a podcast company.
And a podcast. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's cashing in on that too. Okay, yeah, I saw this clip. I'd love to go through it with you guys.
When Jim Irsay says, "Hey, we made a mistake," I'm like, "Ow, that's kind of that hurts a little, right?"
I mean, it is what it is. You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I thought last year was a really fun year. I thought we did some incredible things. Came up short at the end. Obviously, I struggled down the stretch there, and timing was poor. But I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that things unfold the way they did. And, you know, I thought things were in a pretty good place there. I had awesome relationships with every single person in that building. Can't say enough good things about, the people over there. And, kind of came out of left field. You know, he's entitled to his own opinion, and, you know, he's entitled to do what he wants with his football team.
How classy was that?
Yeah. And pretty forthcoming. 'Cause like, I know this came up recently, and I would give Carson the same advice, this is what I would do if I were him. I would say, Colin, I know you have to ask that question, but I'm done talking about my time in Indianapolis. If I were Carson Wentz, I would just let it be known to the media, not only here in D.C., but any national media, that I'm just not going to reference my time in Indianapolis anymore.
Yeah, but then that makes it seem like you have something to hide. He's just like, yeah, okay, it's his decision.
But I'd be tired about just rehashing it all the time. I would just be like, you know what? We're moving on to the next. I'm excited about my opportunity with Washington. Not going to talk about Indianapolis anymore.
Yeah, but I think that creates more mystery. I think the way he handled it was perfect.
And he knows if he accepts any invitation to do a radio show, he's going to be asked by.
I'm sure.
Or TV show.
It's got to be annoying for him to keep answering that question.
Yeah, but once the season starts, that goes away.
But isn't it weird? Isn't it weird? It's a very weird storyline. You know what I mean? Maybe we're just in it so much.
Like
we're talking about it so much.
But for whatever reason.
When are the Colts relevant?
They've got to get over, get past it. You made a mistake. You cut your ties with him. Now you've cast your lot with Matt Ryan.
I actually think it means that people are scratching their head as to why they did it. If this topic just keeps coming up over and over and over again.
I told you the day it happened, this is because of the wacky owner. The pill-popping loser that owns that team. He is a wacko. And he didn't like Carson personally. He didn't like how he didn't perform down the stretch for him well enough. And that's where this all stems from.
That video.
He didn't go to Indy and fail miserably. Okay, they missed the playoffs. He, you know, played poorly in the last game or two. Okay. But they make it seem like, you know, he was awful and the team couldn't wait to get rid of him. I mean, do you buy it into it when he said, I had an awesome relationship with every single player on the team? He's clearly addressing the rumor that he's some sort of locker room cancer.
Well, we've heard both sides.
Yeah,
of that.
I don't know if I fully believe him saying he had an awesome relationship with every single guy on the
team.
Does
he strike you as the kind of guy that would like hold grudges and not like guys? To me, he seems like a happy-go-lucky kind of guy.
He seems like a likable guy.
People might not like his over-religious things, but there are a lot of guys like that.
That could just be his public persona. His public persona could be, I'm an aw shucks country boy type, you know, just lovable guy. And behind closed doors, he could be a completely different person.
We just don't know what he's really all about.
I guess that's true. Do you get that sense?
I don't know. Maybe he's a two-faced liar. I don't know Carson Wentz. I've never met the man.
I don't know what sense to get, but when Brian Mitchell tells us stories about players who had problems with him,
right,
both in Philly and Indy, I believe it.
Yeah, I can't remember what Brian said. You'd have to remind me what he said.
Now, I do think that Irsay is a complete whack job. Like, that video that he put out of him singing a terrible
Bob
Dylan song
whack job
on his private jet is, it just tells me that this guy's judgment is
horrible.
He's
an eccentric weirdo addict. I mean, he just is. Sorry. I got no regard. I have zero regard for Irsay. Look how he treated Peyton Manning. Irsay is a clown. I'm Team Wentz all the way, especially in that arena.
I know you are.
Yeah.
You've established that.
Even if he comes in here and bombs out, Wentz way classier than Irsay.
Okay, that's fine.
Not even close.
That's easy to do. But, I mean, there aren't that many people in the world that are just 100% liked. So I'm going to guess that he probably had some issues with some of the players.
Or maybe they had issues
Philly
with him. He's
Indy.
Saying, I didn't have any issues. They may have had issues with him. He's saying, I didn't have an issue. He said, I had an awesome relationship with them.
Well, it doesn't mean he's telling the truth.
He just said, okay, maybe.
He's not going to come out and say, yeah, I had an issue with this guy who I played with. He's not going to say that.
I don't know. He just doesn't strike me as a big liar.
Now, he might come here and just have a great relationship with everybody. Him and Scott Turner get along, and they've got this, you know, great chemistry, and all these guys that they've added. That might happen. But I'm not going to sit here and say he didn't have any issue or players didn't have issues with
him. They might have had an issue with him. That's on them. I believe him, though. Unlike you, I believe him when he says, I had an awesome relationship and he didn't have an issue with his teammates. Mm-hmm. I believe him. They may have had an issue with him, some of them. But.
Well, I'm starting to think that there's something fishy about just how everyone in the Colts organization just like can't
they won't all, shut up.
Yeah, they won't shut up about it.
Or they just second.
It was last week.
It's like if you say it to yourself so much, it will come true.
Yeah.
So by just saying Wentz sucks, he's the one that blew it for us, and we're moving on, and we're getting a better quarterback in Matt Ryan. It's almost like you're trying to talk yourself into it, like you're selling yourself.
Don't forget
on it
when he first like when
just
word
it's
came
just
out,
it's just weird how you they're not shutting
and
up
you know
about
what?
It
like. If I'm Chris Ballard, I know that Ballard is obviously the employee and that Irsay's the owner. But if I'm Ballard, I'm just going to walk into Irsay's office and say, all right, we've talked enough about Carson Wentz. It's time for us to move on. We don't need to keep dragging his name through the mud.
You can't do that. GM can't tell an owner that. Well, GM can't tell an owner what to say. No GM can do that.
Look, maybe he would feel bold enough and...
Would you feel comfortable telling David Field you need to stop talking about
of course I would.
Podcasting? You need to hype up radio more.
Everything he says is good to go, but
you can't.
Yeah, but I'm
then Cake shows him his shares of Odyssey he has and says, yes, I can.
Yeah, I'm sure his shares don't own mine. Are you kidding? I would never do that. Never get in that contest.
No employee could tell the owner that kind of thing.
Maybe not tell. Suggest. Hey, Jim. How about we lay off Carson at this point? Matt Ryan's our guy.
You don't know how he'll react. He might fire you. He's a wacko.
Well, you know what? Chris Ballard, may deep down want to get fired to go work for somebody else. Look, that's a more stable.
It doesn't mean Matt Ryan isn't going to be the better choice at quarterback for
the
Colts.
He might be. Yeah, sure, he might be. He might be great. Not saying he's going to be terrible. Matt Ryan might be great. I think Matt Ryan's clearly closer to the end of the road than Carson. But
again, we'll
but they didn't know they were going to get Matt Ryan when they decided to let Carson go.
But you know what?
Trade him.
The Colts are bad at finding good quarterbacks. This is going to be their sixth starting quarterback in six seasons. And a lot of that is obviously because Andrew Luck walked away
and left them in a really bad spot.
It's like they didn't have a plan in place, really. You know what I mean? Like if the Rams, when you know they got rid of Goff, they had the trade for Stafford in place.
Right. Luck did screw them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Luck screwed them.
But they just all of a sudden they just put the blame on them, traded them, didn't have a plan in place, and now is trying to tell the world that what we have now is going to work
so much better. Maybe it will. I'm not saying it's not going to work. But I do remember somebody made the point, and I do think it's excellent, that Indy fans, Indy front office people probably, certainly Ursay, they're used to Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck level performance, right, at the quarterback position.
Sure, they've been spoiled.
And Carson maybe didn't meet that, okay? Mm-hmm. In D.C., you know what we're used to? We're used to Haskins, Heinicke,
right.
Gilbert. So when Carson comes in here, I'm telling you, we're going to be ecstatic. Mm-hmm. Because relatively speaking, this guy's going to be like a friggin' all-pro compared to what we've had. And so maybe that wasn't good enough where they're used to Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Okay, I understand that. Here, it's a huge upgrade.
Well, that's why Ron's first words to Carson when he came to Ashburn, to the bubble, the practice facility, was, we appreciate you.
Yeah. We are going to appreciate what you do.
Oh, you're here where you're wanted.
You're wanted here, and you can do things here that quarterbacks basically haven't been able to do for a decade plus. I mean, Kirk could do a lot of the same things, but, you know, he wasn't even really wanted here. We are ecstatic to have you and to have your highs.
Ron's got a lot riding on Carson Wentz. He needs it to work out.
I think Washington fans are going to be pleasantly surprised.
Carson, this is a good analogy. I feel like Carson Wentz is like that rare find at TJ Maxx that you wear all the time. It fits just right. You can't believe you found this kind of shirt in a trash heap.
Like drab finding like a Nike swoosh hoodie for like $18.
Yeah, that's just what you want. Your $28 million. Quarterback compared to TJ Maxx.
Hey,
you can find good stuff there.
All right, yeah.
He's going to be really good.
Yeah, you have to sift through a lot of garbage.
He's going to be really good here. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be way better than Drew Lock.
Hey, Ron's gone through that garbage bin.
You want to bet?
Yeah, and he found that polo.
That's what you're going to compare him to?
No, I know you're pumping up Drew Lock.
Yeah, because I'm a Seahawks fan.
Okay,
and it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
I'm not on my last leg.
It's a reboot.
All right.
Yeah, you're wanted here, Carson. We really appreciate you after we really wanted Stafford, Deshaun, Russell Wilson. Yeah, but you're our guy.
Well, yeah, any team would want those guys. Right. Hey, listen, you just be happy with Drew Lock over there. He's going to be money. That was a great decision to get rid of Russ.
Man, every Monday is going to be so interesting.
Russ is very corny. You know what? I'm team getting rid of Russ for the big draft haul.
From here on out, it's known as the Drew Lock trade.
Not the Russ Wilson trade.
All I know is we did as good as we could do, and I'm happy with it. I'm happier than if we had... Who was the top quarterback that even went?
The first quarterback
in the draft?
Yeah, when Pickett.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I'd rather have Wentz over Pickett every single time. And then after that,
over an unproven rookie, of course you would.
Of course, man, this is the best we could do, and I think he's gonna. I think people are gonna be pleasantly surprised, including Drab. He'll actually be upsettingly surprised.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's not rooting for him.
Yeah, because he's gonna be rooting against him.
When we come back on an open line Thursday, Buster Olney from ESPN thinks this high profile national could be traded. We'll tell you who next on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So an article from Buster Olney from ESPN made some waves yesterday, and Buster's going to join the show tomorrow at 7:20. The title of the article is, Will the Nationals Trade Juan Soto? Could Carlos Correa be on the move? 10 X factors as the MLB trade market heats up. And the first byline in the story is, Will the Washington Nationals trade Juan Soto?
I mean, can you imagine what Nats fans would do if they did trade Soto?
I don't think anybody
would go to a game.
They're going to trade all those. Right. I said I would punch out if they traded Max or right. Let him go, whatever.
And that happened.
But that's one thing. You're talking about an aging veteran who's had some injury issues, who, again, shocker, pulled like his intercostal muscle or whatever he did yesterday.
Yep.
So he's got issues. But if they let a superstar who literally embodies everything you look for, in an athlete and in a person, if they just let him go or decide that they're not going to be able to resign him, I don't know how you can.
And it's so frustrating because, like, over the years, you kept hearing, well, we're not going to sign Rendon and Harper because that money's going to be saved for Juan Soto.
Right. Or Trey Turner.
Yeah, we're not going to resign this guy so we can save money for Trey Turner. He gets dealt in the Scherzer deal. And you have a transcendent 23-year-old superstar. He's not a guy that you're hoping develops into a superstar. He's already there.
Correct.
He's just not getting paid on that level yet, but he's going to.
Vinny keeps telling me he's already a Met. Vinny's already counting his chickens.
Right. He's already got him on the roster.
Oh, yeah. He's like, he can't wait.
So Soto's making...
Well, that would be 3 years down the road. I mean, if you're going to wait until he's a free agent.
Soto's making $17.1 million this season in his first year of arbitration eligibility. He's likely to earn a record salary through arbitration again next season, but rival execs say the Nats might well be compelled and motivated to move Soto this summer. This is a quote from a rival exec. If they're not going to sign him to a long-term deal, then they'll need to trade him. The question is when?
Right.
All right. They can't trade
him. Well, who knows what's going to go on with ownership? But if the Lerners decided that they were going to sign him to a $400 million deal,
Or
whatever it would cost. Well, obviously, then that's in play. But are the Lerners going to be the ownership group
in
3 years?
There's a lot of moving parts.
Doesn't look like it.
The team's reportedly up for sale. They're entertaining offers. They're in that phase. And Mike Rizzo's in the last year of his current contract. So
every other year he's in the last year of his contract.
Okay, but there's a lot of flux in that front office and ownership suite that's not helping in trying to secure
I don't think
Juan
it's going to happen. They're not going to trade Juan Soto this year before the deadline. But if they did...
Catastrophic.
I don't think any fans would go to the game.
That would be like the Caps trading Ovi.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're getting another superstar in return, that's different. But if you're just going to get a bunch of prospects or a couple of everyday players that are just kind of role players, and then you're getting a ton of prospects, why would you come to a game?
I honestly would turn down any trade, and I would re-sign him. And I'd give him $400 million or whatever
it is. It'd be interesting to see if there is a new owner, if he's willing to do that.
He's everything you're looking for in a player and in a person, by all accounts. You cannot let that asset go and be another in a long line of superstars that you let go. Then we saw, now we're like Minnesota. We're like the Twins.
Yeah, this should not be like just like a way station where guys are developed and then other teams just come in and pluck superstars out of D.C. This is not Kansas City. This is not Tampa Bay. Okay, this is not Oakland. Like, D.C.'s better than that. And they deserve owners who are willing to spend that sort of money to keep Juan Soto
it's
in
a big
an
boy
uniform
game.
For another decade.
You got to spend big boy money if you have big boy stars like that.
You have to be willing to just lose money. Like, I've said this for a decade. Like, if you're rich enough to own a sports franchise, hopefully that's not like your primary means of income. That's clearly not the case with the Lerners. They have super deep pockets. Now, I know that they've taken a hit like everybody has with the economy, with COVID, all that. I understand you take a step back.
Their pockets might not, if they're trading Juan Soto's,
right.
Their pockets might not be as deep as you think.
It's possible.
Well, they're also, you know, they're fiscally responsible, which I get. But if you can't figure out a way to accommodate a superstar on your roster, I'm sorry. It's going to be hard to be a fan of your team.
I want the teams that I root for to have borderline fiscally irresponsible ownership, where they just look at losses and say, I don't care. I just can do what I can.
That's how Steve Cohen is. Well, Steve Cohen, they say, he does not care.
Then that's fine.
He laughs.
And he wants a World Series.
Yes. He doesn't care.
That's the sort of owner that every fan should want for their team.
Yeah.
You want hedge fund billionaires that don't care about losses at the gate or how much operating income your team has.
Look, no one goes to Nats games now anyway. When you're that bad, I mean, you see the games. You see the crowds.
Right.
But if they traded a Juan Soto, there would be a mass exodus of fans. You would not see
it.
You might be lucky to get a few thousand.
It gets me angry even thinking about it. And I understand.
Now, this is one person's opinion.
No, and I understand his point is that if you're going to get nothing, you got to trade him. Like, if the ownership is just decide we're not going to sign, well, then, of course, I understand that. But it's just unacceptable as a fan. It's literally unacceptable.
Because you're trading away a Hall of Fame talent player.
You can at least make the argument with Scherzer. He was older. You don't want to give a pitcher that kind of money.
Right.
Look how we just got burned on Stras. You can make that. I understand that.
You can even kind of make it for Trey Turner, because Trey Turner's 28.
A like, little older.
He's 5 years older than
Juan
Soto. A
little more based on speed.
Do you want to give that guy $250, $300 million? You might let another team
and frankly,
do that.
Trey Turner, not as lovable as Juan Soto.
No.
Just not. A little surlier. Just not.
I know, but he's damn good.
He's very
good. I'm not saying he's not good.
He's awesome.
I like him.
What this ownership group should have done was traded Max because of his age, and now the injuries are popping up, but kept Trey and tried to re-sign him. Now, maybe Trey would have decided, I don't want to stay here. You know, I want to go play in L.A. or Florida, wherever.
Yeah, but the rationale was, well, you traded Trey because you didn't want to have to pay him and Soto. You didn't have enough money to do that.
Or so you thought.
I'm drawing a line in the sand. That's a red line for me.
Will you melt your ring down if they trade Soto?
No, I'd sell it.
Sell it.
That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
You want me to do that?
I'll sell it.
It's
on
a
eBay.
Ring too.
It's a great ring.
All right, but what
some people might have already sold it.
They might have.
I'll tell you.
What the Buster brings us up is that Scott Boras always takes his clients to free agency.
Right.
Yeah.
So, are you going to risk losing him for nothing? Like, he won't sign any offer. You give him $1 billion. He says, I'm not signing. I'm going to free agency. I'm going to let.
He didn't do that with everybody. He's done that with most.
He didn't do that with Strauss.
Okay, we'll say that's their stance. We're going to free agency.
Then you just have to outbid everybody. You have to outbid everybody. He's that good. You have to outbid everybody.
Yeah, but they've never been in the business of outbidding everybody.
I don't think
for
they'll be
players.
Able to outbid the New York City LAs.
I don't care about the. I'm with Cakes on this one. I don't care about the fiscal responsibility of it. You have to keep a player of his caliber in the prime of his career.
No, I get it, but Drabby's point is it might be out of their control.
Out of whose control?
The learners or whoever the owners are.
They can always match any offer, even if he gets that dreaded free agency.
Well, it doesn't mean you can match it, but if he decides he wants to go to L.A.
There's no reason why he would want to go to – why would he want to go to L.A.? L.A. stinks.
He looked pretty happy there last fall, wearing the sunglasses in the front row, cheering on Max.
Maybe he doesn't like this whole rebooting. You know, this rebooting could last. I know Mike says it could last a year, but it could last 3, 4, 5 years.
10 years, 20 years.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, no, I
maybe
agree.
He doesn't like that. He doesn't. You think he likes to lead the league in walks?
No.
You think he likes being 12 and 27?
I'm assuming
he doesn't like that.
I'm assuming that he wants to be here. You're correct. I'm assuming he wants to be here. I could be wrong.
I don't know why you assume that.
You'll talk yourself into anything. You just said who wants to go to L.A. I don't know, every free agent that signs with the Dodgers every single year.
Okay, but he can get money anywhere. I mean, he'll get that money anywhere.
But he may feel like there's a better situation for him to win more rings.
Okay, maybe he does. Sure.
Are you going to hold it against the Nats if they match every offer and he takes one in a different market?
Okay, then in that one instance, I won't. But I refuse to believe that he's got it in his head he doesn't want to be here. I refuse to believe that.
I think the only way they would have a shot, because I do, Drabby, I do believe that. I do believe that if he gets through these arbitration years, these next 2 years, and he's a UFA, mm-hmm. He gone.
Right, you got to do it relatively soon if you're going to do it.
The only way, because he'll get a better offer somewhere. The only way I think that they can possibly grasp at it is just offer some ridiculous deal
right now. Blow him away with it.
Now, the learners might say, we're not going to own this team in 2 years. We don't care where he is. In 2026,
sure,
or 2025, whatever it is. So they may just say, we're out. All right, we'll make a trade right now, get some prospects.
Or they may just
keep going to arbitration.
Or they could just sign him and say, you know what? Once we sell it, Juan Soto's then your problem. Because we'll do the deal because we know we're gonna pull the escape hatch and be out of here in a year and a half. And then you guys can deal with the $45-plus million per year that you're paying Juan Soto.
Like deferred money.
Corey Seager got 10 years, $325 million from Texas.
I know this pool is small.
If they offered, if the learners came out tomorrow and said, Juan, we'll give you 10 years, $325 million, you think he's taking that?
No.
He has to be more than that. It has to be like 10 years, $400 million.
I mean, think about that. Think about if you turn down $325 million, guaranteed.
He's already turned down the first offer. He looked at the first offer and said, that's not even close to good enough.
You're right. I'm just saying.
We don't know what it was.
We have no idea if it was that much, but I mean, it could have been $200 million.
Right.
So I can see why you would turn that down. But that would be the only way, in my opinion, they could grasp is if they came out right now prematurely and said, 8 years, $350 million.
Here's what the
10
Nats,
years, $375 million.
Here's what the Nats need.
Yeah.
They need an owner who's going to come in and look at whatever's getting paid to Juan Soto if they do the deal before that person takes over the franchise. And looks at 10 years, $445 million, whatever it winds up being, and just goes, okay, that's the price of doing business for a superstar. I'm cool with that. Instead of, whoa, that number, we can't handle that sort of number.
Does Elon want to buy the NS?
Yeah, look, and I know the number of people that can do that in this world presently is very small. It's a very small pool. But hopefully whoever buys the Nats is that sort of person where they just kind of look at that as the price of having an MLB superstar.
But owners aren't, I think it's changed. I mean, I know Trout got that extension, the $400 million extension, but owners I don't think they're just going to keep one-upping that biggest deal. I don't think they'll do that.
At some point, it has to get curtailed, you would think.
That's what I mean.
It's the nail in the coffin, though, if they trade him and basically acknowledge we're not going to be able to re-sign another superstar.
On a side note, this is a very side note, did you see the quick, like, 25-second video from Ludwig, who's like a world famous like Twitch gamer slash streamer. Like he's got millions of followers.
Does he want to buy the team?
No. I don't think he's got deep enough pockets, but I guess he went to like his first baseball game ever. I think it was an Angels game, but don't quote me on that. Okay. And he's like, how are these guys getting paid all this money? Like, I sat there for 4 hours. There's no action. There's like 4 or 5 hits in the game, and people are drinking $20 watered down beers, and these guys are getting paid 30 some million dollars. He's like, how is this? How are the economics of this working out?
800-636-1067. Your reaction to Buster Olney's article that he thinks that it's a possibility that Juan gets traded this summer. Let's hit Todd in Rockville, Mr. Bickle. Let's talk about the Soto trade and that possibility.
Todd, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Thank you, guys. I listen all the time. Very few subjects get me motivated to call. This is one of them. And I'm 68. I'm a native Washingtonian. I grew up going to Washington Senators games in the 60s. I was a huge Frank Howard fan. And I'll tell you, having as a kid, the Senators were no good. But we'd go to see Frank Howard. We'd go to see the big home run. It made all of us baseball fans. All my buddies are baseball fans. We're still baseball fans. Juan Soto should be the anchor of this franchise for the next 10 to 15 years. No ifs, ands, or buts.
They should agree.
Come as one of the best players in baseball. If the learners can't do it, get somebody else in here who can. I think it's ridiculous to even think about getting rid of him for other assets, minor league players. That's absolutely asinine. It makes no sense whatsoever. And if you don't keep a guy like Soto, you are going to lose a huge number of potential baseball fans for the next 10 to 20 years, because that's why kids, not just adults like us, but that's why kids will want to have their parents take them to the ball game, is to go see one of the greatest, potentially one of the greatest players ever. And they just need to make it done. And if they don't, they are going to lose an enormous number of fans.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
Thanks for the call. If you want to weigh in on the Buster Olney ESPN article about the potential of Juan Soto getting moved this summer, you can do that. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls on that next on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
If you'd like to weigh in on Buster Olney's ESPN article about Juan Soto, by the way, Buster Olney is going to be on the show tomorrow at 7:20. You can do that on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. Speculation that he could potentially be traded as early as this summer.
That would be a blockbuster.
Got a lot of people up in arms about that.
I'm just telling you, it's a red line for me.
Yeah,
it's my line in the sand.
Look, we just talked to the guy who said it's... He's been going to games for, 30, 40 years?
Yeah.
He was to games in the 60s. Almost 70 years old.
Yeah. So
the guy had a young voice, too, for like 68.
Yeah.
He had a good, silly voice.
He certainly did.
You're going to see that all across the city if that happens, which I don't think is going to happen this summer.
Maybe you can go back and root for the Orioles. Valdez would welcome you back with open arms if Juan Soto gets
dealt.
That's fine.
Oh,
you guys moved on. No takesy backsies.
I like going to Camden Yards. Maybe I'll go back to the Cubs. I'll just buy a bunch of Cubs hats.
Hey, hold on. Just to clarify, your line in the sand is if Soto gets traded or if Soto leaves.
If Soto leaves, it's not going to be because I disregard what Jason says. He could be right, but I respectfully disregard it. If Soto leaves, it's going to be because they didn't pay what is required.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to leave because he thinks he can win.
That's possibility
elsewhere,
or
he's dying to get out of here. I think he's beloved here. By all accounts, he seems to be happy here.
He wouldn't be beloved in another city?
He would be. He would be. But there's no reason to want to leave if you're beloved in your current location, right?
You're right. He might go to the highest bidder.
And I think we should be the highest bidder.
And if Washington's not the highest bidder, that would be the line of the sand.
The line in the sand is basically virtually any scenario where he leaves. Sorry. I can only take so much. We lost Bryce. Bryce was kind of a douche, so it's all right.
Rendon gone.
Rendon's another one. Didn't seem to care where he was. Rendon could play on Mars. He wouldn't have cared.
Right.
He
went
Scherzer,
for a huge deal.
I didn't want to lose Max. I felt like he was the heart and soul of the team, but he's an old guy. He obviously wanted to cash in, and they weren't going to pay him whatever he's. I mean, what's he getting? Is Max getting $40 million a year? Max getting a boatload of cash.
Yeah. Something like that.
Now,
yeah.
You did say you were done with the Nats if they traded Max.
I know. I backed off that. Soto is my legit red line.
He's it. He's the guy.
It is my final red line. You cannot get rid of this kid. You have to find a way. Come correct now. You got to go. The biggest offer, that whatever it takes. The guy, Ryan Spader, the baseball guy that listens to the show. Mm-hmm. He's all in the stats and everything. He thinks it's going to take $500 million. I mean, he's serious. He says he thinks it's going to be. It needs to be a longer term than Bryce. Yeah. And needs to be more of an average than Trout.
And he's probably right.
Which
he's
puts it at about $504 million over 14 years.
I was going to say, because Bryce is 13 years.
Yeah, so he thinks it's going to take a 14-year, $500 million
contract.
But
that's the sort of commitment you have to make if you want to tell other players in the league, hey, we're serious about winning here. We're serious about having a viable winning franchise instead of, well, we're going to cut corners whenever we can. We're going to develop guys, but we're not going to pay them when it comes time to pay them. Like, that's
if you
the rep for this team.
If you just
franchise.
Let superstars go every single time, sorry, it's not sustainable.
Right.
Not sustainable for me as a fan. All right, let's go to Jack in Indian Head. Jack, what's up? Jack,
hey,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, I really just think Buster's article is a hot take that's going to happen every year as long as Soto's here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unrealistic that the Learners, as long as that ownership's here, they just don't have the ability to re-sign him. And I really, as a fan, just would like to enjoy him in the uniform as long as possible and avoid the whole trade.
None of that. They have the ability to sign him. It's the willingness. Are they willing to re-sign him to that big of a deal? They have the ability. Exactly. They have the.
I think it's a big reason why they're selling.
Wherewithal.
This is total speculation. I think it's a big reason why they're selling. They don't even want to deal with it because they know, for them, from their perspective, it might be lose-lose. Mm. Like, we give them all this money, and it's going to be hard for us to recoup it, or we let them go, and everyone's going to hate us.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, well, just think about all of the superstars that have come through here, starting with Bryce. Bryce mm-hmm. and then Rendon, and then Turner. Trey, and then Max. Okay, well, the one guy they kept, possibly Soto, the one guy they kept, Strauss,
mm-hmm.
is always hurt.
Right.
Guy's always hurt.
And I think that hurts us, too. Is that
That's what I'm saying. So maybe they look at it and they go, look, we're signing this huge deal, and it's not paying dividends, although they did win a ring.
Right, and why do you think Boris didn't do the big tour with Strasburg? Because he knows that Strasburg's the damaged goods.
He is damaged.
There's only limited amount of shelf life left on the guy. So he got the best deal he could from the Nats.
All right, let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to Ben in Silver Spring. Ben, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. I'm afraid he's going to be gone, and I'd like to get your opinion on something. I've always thought the Lerners were really cheap, but if you think about it, they have lost every big deal. And my biggest question for you folks would be, how much does the TV deal have to do with this? Do they really have the capital to go after these stratospheric contracts? The only contract they really signed that was large, wasn't really that large, like you just said a second ago, was Strasburg, who was damaged goods. And Boris made a fantastic deal for his guy. And my next biggest concern after that is, if the contract is that big of a deal, will the new owners sit there and look to move?
Great question. There's a lot we don't know about the finances. I'll just say
because if you think about it, they've lost every single big deal. Are the Lerners really that cheap?
They've kind of got the reputation of being that cheap lately.
Now, I think they're obviously willing.
I mean, they went out.
They're just fiscally responsible. They do spend a lot of money.
They went out and signed two big pitchers. All right, they gave a lot of money to Max, and they gave a lot of money to Strassi. But all those position players?
Right.
See you later.
They gave a lot of money to Corbin, too, right?
Yeah,
and Corbin.
They gave a lot of money to him.
They prioritized spending money on pitching.
That looks small compared to what guys are getting now at that
right.
position. But, yeah, I mean, those position players are all gone.
All right, let's go to James, Upper Marlboro. James, what's up?
Guys, I know this is very unpopular, but I'm actually for it, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get enough pieces to build a team and be like the Giants and go, or like the, basically the Sox or teams that actually contend every year, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. You can't just pay one dude the stratosphere, have no money to build around him. You already know that the team is going to get, ownership is going to change over. And how many teams have we seen in not just MLB, but NFL, NBA, where they pay one guy all this money and don't have any money to build around?
Well, I mean, you need a star, though. You need a top-of-the-line player. I mean, you can't just have a bunch of prospects out there. I mean, I get
it. I concur, but I think you can do it. I think you can do it both ways. I just don't think the template of let's build around one dude, pay him all the money, he's there 10 years, and you have no money to pay anybody else and to build around. Like, I like spreading the wealth. Like, again, what we did with the pitchers. You know, now, like you said, it looks cheap now on paper, but we got World Series ring out. I'd rather focus on trying to be a contender. You know you're not going to keep them because Boris is going to win the world. So get rid of them now. Get prospects. Keep rebuilding. Trust the process.
I don't trust that process.
Especially with the new ownership.
I do think
I get you.
I think, James, I will say that I think the chances of him staying here are probably pretty low. Pretty low, yeah. Unless Eric's right, unless he really loves it here, and he'll take, an offer. Offer that's similar to what the big offers are now.
Yeah, why
outside
can't
of
we
Trout.
Just match any offer? Just match any offer.
But the problem is he's a Boris guy, and those players usually go to free agency and get paid.
So, okay, you get a great offer, we match it.
Again, we don't know what the offer is going to be.
Whatever $1 million.
I know, but you can't hold it against the Nationals if Juan doesn't take the offer
understood.
That's matched.
I just don't see that. I mean, that's obviously possible.
That's a possible scenario.
It's possible.
You're going to hold it against him, though, if that plays out.
If it becomes obvious that he hated D.C. and he couldn't wait to get out of here, sure, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I just don't see that. I think he seems perfectly happy. I don't see no reason to think why he would be desperate to leave here.
no one's saying he's desperate to leave, but let's just say the next 2 years in his arbitration years, they're terrible, mm-hmm. and they win 65 games right. and 72 games.
Maybe he doesn't like the direction of the franchise.
And then he's a UFA. Mm-hmm. Is he really going to resign here just because he loves D.C.? Don't you think he wants to win somewhere?
I do, but I don't. I'm hopeful that D.C. will not always be this way, that Rizzo, you know, is a proven GM, proven talent guy. It's just, you know,
and here's the other thing. We have no idea who the owners are going to be when he's a free agent. If it's not the Learners, we have no idea.
Right.
Well, now, maybe that ownership group says, we're keeping him. Or maybe they take a different stance or a similar stance.
Right.
And if that's the case, it's out of their control. And Juan Soto is going to go to the highest bidder.
We should be. My bottom line is we should be the highest bidder.
They should at least be in the
mix. I know what you want. I'm just saying that's probably not realistic.
All right, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour at 8:20, we'll be joined by Barry's Verluga. We'll talk some Caps and more Nats with him. But next, we'll talk more Commanders. Are the Eagles the team to beat in the NFC East right now?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.